We pray. Heavenly Father, may the light of your face pierce the darkness of our night. Come and warm our hearts with your words of grace and love, truth and salvation. Bless us as we journey ever onward, that our eyes may ever be locked in on you, the author and defender of our faith. Bless us, strengthen us now and forever, in Christ our living Lord. Amen. Imagine what it was like for Peter, James, and John to walk up the side of that mountain with Jesus. They thought it was just another excursion to go praying with the Lord, just like they had done hundreds of times before. And yet the Lord had something much more in mind. They had journeyed now for 3 years with the Lord, and they saw his miracles. They heard his sermons. And slowly, ever gradually, they had come to that realization that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah who was to come into this world. And now Jesus was taking them aside, taking them with him to rivet this truth ever deeper into their hearts and lives, to show them ever fuller who he truly is and what he is all about. You see, Jesus was trying to anchor them and strengthen them for the evil storm that was about to come upon them on a different mountain, Mount Calvary. And whether they stood or fell in the face of that danger would really depend on whether they could see Jesus, see him for who he truly is, see him the way he wants to be seen. We have many important things in our lives, just like Peter, James, and John. We have to be concerned with how we're going to pay the bills. When are we going to get ill the next time, and will we recover from it? We might even be concerned with how our children are doing. Are they growing happy and healthy and staying close to the Savior? Those are all very good concerns and should occupy our hearts and minds. And yet, at this moment, we are standing with Peter, James, and John on that holy mountain. And through the eyes of faith, we'll see what they saw. And there's nothing more important in this moment, right here, right now, than that we do what they did, to see Jesus. Not as others tell us about him, but as he truly is, to see him as he wants to be seen in all that he is revealing before our very eyes. It's easy when things are overwhelming, when we see things that mystify us and muddle us and confuse us, to simply just shut down and close off and go back to our puny, normal, everyday lives. But Jesus challenges us in this moment, in this day, right here and now, see Jesus for who he truly is. You know, in the movie The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and all of her companions had to travel to Oz to see the wizard, huh? And once they were in Oz, they had to walk down this long corridor, a hall, into a vast room, inner chamber, and on the wall was this awful-looking face hanging, and there was fire, and there was smoke, and there was thunder, and from the thunder you heard, "I am the great and powerful Oz." Oh, and they shook and almost wet their pants, and oh, how terrible it was. But then you know what happened, huh? Toto, their little dog, grabs a hold of the curtain and pulls the curtain back and reveals a rather common and old man standing there speaking into a microphone. Oh, how disappointing, huh? This is the Wizard of Oz? Notice how Jesus is just the opposite. They've traveled with Jesus for 3 years, and by and large, most days when they wake up, Jesus seemed like kind of a young guy, but pretty common stuff. Here he takes him up to this mountain. He pulls the curtain back, and he shows him who's on the inside, the very glory of God. There in an instant, they saw themselves looking into the face of God in all of its brilliance, and it took their breath away. Wow! He glowed with the brightness of lightning. And they were speechless with what they saw. How magnificent this was. And then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appeared. They had been dead for hundreds of years. They had gone home to heaven, which, by the way, speak volumes about how God is the God of the living. There is a life after this life. But here they appear with Jesus, speaking with him in glory. Peter is in full ecstasy. I always envision him being so happy and so excited, he's just crying like a baby because this is just so wonderful. He wasn't thinking anymore, oh, how am I going to pay the bills, or what sickness am I going to have, or who are my friends, or who are my enemies? No, he was so filled with joy and peace, he wanted to put up three shelters. Oh, let's stay here forever. This is like heaven on earth. And I'm sure it was the happiest day of his life. We probably, had we been there in that moment, we probably would be just that overwhelmed with joy also. I wonder what it would feel like to actually have all of our cares and concerns just melt away. So happy that it doesn't matter what our troubles used to be, who were our friends or enemies, whether we're going to be sick or whatever is going to happen in our life, to just totally be consumed in looking at the face of the Lord, his glory, his peace, his love, his protective care. But just so that the disciples didn't miss the point in this climactic moment, God the Father rolls in a cloud, and he says something very profound. This is my son. Wow. Jesus is the very Son of God. Have you ever chummed around with a friend and kind of hung out and did fun things together, only somewhere down the road to find out that that person is a multimillionaire? Or maybe they're a genius. Maybe they're a world-class athlete or musician, and you never guessed. And when you found out, your jaw dropped open. Really? You really have that kind of ability? Well, we can imagine how Peter, James, and John stood there with their mouths hanging open. Wow, this is the Jesus we've been walking around, camping with, sleeping out under the stars with, across a fire with. He's not only wonderful, he's actually God. God come down in human flesh. Oh, and we were sitting right next to him while we were burping and horsing around, and as we had wicked thoughts and said evil things, and here God, the Lord God Almighty, was sitting there right next to us. Wow, that could take our breath away too. As we stand before God and he's glowing in all of his brilliance, that brings to light all the things we've done to offend him and sin against him. And yet that's why he was here, isn't it? God doesn't tuck himself away in an inner chamber at the end of a long hall somewhere up in heaven asking us to come and find him somehow. No, God himself comes to us, to this fallen world, to rotten, miserable people like you and me. He comes and takes on our human flesh, 100% human, 100% God, all at the same time, to ransom us, to make peace between us and a holy God. And that's what his brilliance shined forth for Peter, James, and John to see. God has come to this world. In the midst of our darkness, there is this light our Savior God, who has come to ransom us and make us his own. Paul wrote to the Colossians, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Everything that is God is Jesus. 100% God. And all we have to do is to see him in all of his glory on Mount Transfiguration to sign and seal that as the reality. Look, him glowing before our very eyes. As Peter, James, and John were trying to soak this in and comprehend this miracle that they were witnessing, they probably were overwhelmed by another thing. By the conversation Moses and Elijah were having with Jesus. Of all the things they could have been talking about, Luke records for us that they said they spoke about his, that is Jesus' departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Notice Jesus was about to bring his departure to fulfillment. His death and resurrection wasn't going to be just some fluke of nature, some accident of a miscarriage of justice. No, he was going to descend from that Mount of Transfiguration and he was headed to another mount, the Mount of Degradation, of being wounded and death, all for our sins, over in Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah were talking about Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. He was about to depart from this world. But why talk about such heartbreaking news in the moment of such thrill and joy? Why talk about what's going to bring sadness to our heart when we're ecstatic with joy? Well, the Father pointed that out too. "This is my Son whom I love, whom I have chosen." Matthew, Mark add a little more information to Luke's account. Peter, James, and John were supposed to take down from that mountain the truth that this is the God who's come to ransom us and rescue us. They would not see this glory again in him until they were home in heaven with him, but it was to be that glory that reassured them that he is here to accomplish his mission, to save us from our sins. But notice, the glorious God who loves his Son has also chosen his Son. Chosen this beloved Son to be the sacrificial lamb, to suffer the punishment for our sins. What would move God to do this? Love for you and me. That he would so love the world, you and me, and everyone in it, that he'd choose his Son, sacrifice his Son, punish his Son for you and me. That's what we're seeing as Jesus walks down this Mount of Transfiguration. In the Old Testament, when they had a perfect little lamb to be sacrificed at the temple, they'd take it and walk it up the street, walk it into the temple. And everyone could see this pristine, perfect little lamb, and they knew what was going to happen to it. Just moments away, it would have its throat slit open. It would be thrown onto the fire in payment for sins. Here, this Jesus descending the Mount of Transfiguration to go and be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Peter, James, and John were supposed to be able to see who this Jesus was and see the sacrifice that he was preparing to make for us and how he would rise in glory. How important that was to see Jesus, to see him for who he truly is. God's love moved him to send his one and only Son. Do we see at this Mount of Transfiguration just how much God loves us? Moses and Elijah listened to God's word all the days of their life. That's what set them apart from a world of people who refused to listen to the word of God. They drank in every single thing God ever told them. And so they were walking in his grace and favor. Now the Father tells Peter, James, and John, and you and me. He speaks from the cloud, listen to him. And how important it is. There's a storm ahead for us too. Whether we stand or fall will all depend on whether we see him, whether we listen to him. Peter, James, and John were to replay over and over again in the theater of their mind this moment on the Mount of Transfiguration as they were seeing him the Roman soldiers nail the spikes into Jesus' hands and feet. Peter, James, and John were to listen very carefully to every word Jesus said from that cross before he died. Peter, James, and John were to recite back to themselves all the promises Jesus had made as they were laying his lifeless body in the tomb. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come to take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Listen to him. Peter, James, and John didn't do such a good job of that. They were still amazed at his death, and even more amazed at his resurrection. It was almost as though Jesus had said nothing at all about it. But before we throw too many stones at them, how often don't we fail to listen to our Savior? And all the troubles and trials in life just make us come unglued, as though there isn't a Savior in heaven, as though Jesus never glowed in all of his glory, and as though our Savior really can't save. But he can, and he does, and he has. And so we journey this Lenten season, and once again we have the opportunity to truly listen to our Lord. Not just hear what he has to say, but truly listen with a heart of faith. Listening has to do with the desire to truly be transformed, even transfigured by Christ. Remember in our first scripture lesson how Moses had spent time with God on Mount Sinai, and he came down Mount Sinai, and he was actually glowing like a light bulb? And then he had to put a veil over his face? Why? Because he was in the presence of God, and God's glory was now radiating from him. Wow. As we spend time with Jesus, our lives too will be aglow. Aglow with his forgiveness, his peace, his love, his hope, his truth, his strength. All that so many people are looking for and can never find. It's there in our radiant Savior. And he too will transform and set us aglow in his mercy and grace. We're not to walk in the darkness of this evil world and our sinful flesh any longer, but no, to walk in his light and to reflect his glorious light into this dark world. That's the change we see in the apostles. Before Jesus died and rose, and after, they're almost like different people. Why? Because they were taking ever deeper to heart all that they had seen and heard at their Savior's feet. They saw the resurrected Lord. And so we are really to see our Jesus for who he is and listen to every word, to soak it up with a heart filled with love, a heart of understanding, a heart of worship, and a heart of obedience. Lord, may your word dwell ever richer and richer within us. We may think today's just kind of an ordinary day, huh? A day where we do a little praying with Jesus, and then we go home and watch the Super Bowl and have a bowl of chips. But oh, how different and special the day is when we truly can see Jesus for who he is and have all the peace and joy and forgiveness that comes from his shining face. Oh, that we might see him with clearer eyes, with a stronger faith, with a joy and faith that only He can give us. He's laid before us a journey once again this year, to walk that Lenten road, to follow Him up to the Mount of Calvary and beyond. Will we journey? Will we pray that, O Lord, open our eyes wide to see all that You have done, to see You for who You truly are in all Your glory? Open our ears ever wider that we might listen and take to heart every word that comes from the mouth of God, because there is life and life to the full. And open our heart, dear Lord, ever wider so that we might trust more fully, more completely, and that we might truly feel that joy of being the children of God. What gifts our Lord has for us this Lenten season as we journey with Him and ponder His miracle and mystery of just how God would so love us that He would do all this for us. May this Lenten journey truly be a blessing for each and every one of us. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, You have burst forth into our worlds to reveal Yourself to us, that in You we might have life and have it to the full. Bless us with an ever stronger faith, with a joyful heart, with a firm confidence in because Jesus has come and rescued us, we truly are the children of God. Now and forever, bless us in Christ our living Savior. Amen.